Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 11, verse 17 through 27. Please rise for the gospel reading. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Good morning, church. Today we continue our sermon series on the Gospel of John. In our first week, we started with a beautiful prologue of Gospel John, a passage full of deep theological meaning, where Jesus is introduced as the Word of God and also as the light and the life of the world. In the last week, we looked at one of Jesus' miraculous signs, where Jesus healed the man who was born blind. And we saw how that miracle reveals Jesus as the light and the life that brings shiny light into this darkness world. And today, we are turning our focus to something unique to this gospel, that is Jesus' I am statements. John intentionally used these statements throughout his gospel to emphasize Jesus' divine identity. The phrase I am is deeply connected to God's self-revelation. In Hebrew scripture, when Moses asked God for his name, and then God responded, saying, "I am who I am." And that sacred phrase, "I am," became closely tied to God's personal name in Hebrew, Yahweh, which is often translated as, "I am who I am." So when Jesus used the phrase, "I am," he was not just teaching a lesson, but he was making a bold declaration about his divinity. To the religious leaders of the time, it sounded like blasphemy. But to all of us, it is a bold and beautiful reminder that Jesus is God in flesh. And there are 7 of these I am statements in the Gospel of John, as you can see listed on the screen. And each one gives us a glimpse into who Jesus is and what Jesus offers to us. And today, we will focus on one of the most profound statements: I am the resurrection and life. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, as we turn our hearts and minds to your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit move among us. Open our ears to hear your truth. Open our minds to understand it, and open our hearts to receive it deeply. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. One time when I was in early 20s, I wondered, how can the statement, "I am the resurrection and the life, those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die," be comforting words for those who are losing their loved one? But as I have experienced more loss in my own life, and as I have walked alongside many grieving families as a pastor, I have gradually come to understand, yes, these words can be comforting words. And this morning, with confidence, I can say to you, yes, they are. As I prepared today's sermon, I was faced the death of a beloved church member, Douglas Stratton. I visited him on Thursday morning. I was hoping to see him, but I heard he was expired. As you know, Doug was deeply faithful to the Lord and to his church family. And whenever I visit him, he always ask, "Pastor, how's your church?" And then he shared with me how many months he's been in a hospital and rehab. And he also shared with me how much he has lost his weight. But he didn't forget that, to make me smile and laugh with his sense of humor. So his passing has been a heavy loss for me. So to be honest with you, part of me wanted to avoid preaching from this particular passage because it felt too close and too raw. But as I prayed, God kept bringing me back to this text, and I sensed that God wanted me to preach with this text, not only for myself, but for all of us. So that even in our sorrow, we can find hope. Even in our grief, we can find comfort. Because our hope and comfort do not come from words alone, they come from our Lord Jesus, who is the resurrection and who is the life. In today's gospel lesson, when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," he was not removed from the pain of loss. He said this in the context of deep personal loss. His dear friend, Lazarus, died. The scripture describes Lazarus this way: the one Jesus loved. It means that with his first-hand experience, Jesus felt the pain and the suffering of losing the loved one. And this morning, we didn't read the entire story, though, after his conversation with Martha, Jesus visited the tomb where Lazarus laid, and there we see one of the most touching moments in Scripture. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, cried at the tomb of his dear friend because he felt the pain and suffering of losing someone he loved. That moment, Jesus weeping, reminds us that God is not distant from our pain. Instead, God meets us right in the middle of our sorrow and our pain with both compassion and power. Knowing that Jesus knows our pain and he is with us in our sorrow truly bring deep comfort to us. And when Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," it is not just a statement of comfort. It is also a powerful declaration of hope. Do you remember one of the unique features of the Gospel of John? It is filled with symbolic languages, rich with deep and often dual meanings. And this statement is no exception. There is a profound depth to these words. When Jesus says this statement, Jesus is not only referring to a future event, but he also pointed to something real, something present, and something happening here and now. When Martha heard Jesus saying, "Martha, your brother will rise again," she understood the sentence only in the future tense, and then she replied back to Jesus, "Lord, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Then Jesus responded with a powerful correction and revelation. "I am the resurrection. I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. Everyone who believes in me and who lives will never die." And he added one more sentence. "Do you believe this?" Then to show that this truth is not just for the future, Jesus went to the tomb, wept, and then raised Lazarus from the dead. And later, Jesus himself demonstrated that he is the resurrection and the life through his own resurrection, the victory over the death after the crucifixion. So by saying, "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus is declaring two things. Firstly, he is the source of a new life. And he offers us that life is here and now. Are you weary? Are you grieving? Do you feel hopeless or in despair? Please know that Jesus breathed life into our weary souls. And he restores what is broken and gives us purpose beyond our pain. And the moment we believe in, we begin to live in a resurrected life that our Lord offers to us. Secondly, Jesus is declaring that he is our hope in death. By saying, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus proclaims that physical death is not the final word. He proved this not only by raising Lazarus from death, but he proved this through his own resurrection. That's why we are here. That's why we are here to worship him. That's why we are going through the season of Lent. And next month, we're going to celebrate his resurrection on the Easter Sunday. So because he resurrected and he conquered death through his resurrection, we do not face death with our fear, but with hope. And I believe this truth gave early Christians profound courage. Actually, when John wrote this gospel, he already witnessed the death of many of the apostles that he had worked with. Paul, Peter, James, Andrew, Thomas, and more. All of them were martyred for the sake of Christ. Meanwhile, John also witnessed the church's growth and thriving despite persecution. And their fearless faith was rooted in this hope. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now, as I close, I want to turn your attention back to Martha. After Jesus declared his powerful I am statement, he asked her, do you believe this? And Martha chose to believe with her faith, and she responded, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Brothers and sisters, this morning, Jesus also asked us the same question that he asked Martha. Do you believe this? And I pray that with the faith, all of you can respond to Jesus by saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And everybody says, yes, Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for reminding us today that Jesus is our resurrection and our life. In our grief, you draw near. In our sorrow, you bring hope and healing. Lord, like Martha, help us to trust you, even in grief, even when we don't have all the answers. Lord, fill our hearts with peace and give us strength to live in the light of your promise. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.